happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Gotta talk about all these boys.
All the boys you've loved before?
All
let's go through them.
These
let's
boys.
Start at the beginning.
Peter Kavinsky, Josh Sanderson, John Ambrose McLaren, Kenny from Camp, and Lucas Kropf.
That was from her semester abroad, I assume.
No, Lucas Kropf is in the book.
Yeah, I know, but he's got a very Baltic-sounding name.
I don't know what it is, but I appreciate the effort to get an interesting name.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Ich heiße Lucas, what's his name? Lucas
Kropf.
Tropft. I don't think that's the way it's spoken in the audio version of this book.
I don't think so.
Why is my computer being so, do you hear my computer?
No, that's not interesting.
Trucking.
No, it's not interesting.
Okay.
That can't be interesting.
Interesting to me.
No whammies today because we're, So people always ask what we mean when we say no whammies. It means that everything we say has to be interesting. Nothing is getting cut from the episode because we have a very tight schedule tonight.
We have a tight schedule tonight because we're going to do it's two for Thursday.
It's two for
Thursday.
Which
doesn't have the ring to it.
No.
That something like a two for Tuesday might.
No.
But it's still the truth. It's our truth that we're living in.
Yeah.
Is that we're going to do this episode, and then we're probably going to have a cheeky little Sweet Valley Twins Patreon episode
afterwards.
Yeah,
we're going to record a second episode back to back.
We're going
to
get a little cheeky.
But we're going to get even more cheeky because there's a new wrinkle, which is that when we take our break, which we always do, you know this about us.
I know this. I do it every week.
Knows it. We take a break. And usually I just go and like bother Sarah. Like, I'll go into the other room and Sarah will be, like, watching a show that...
I usually do a really big pee.
Usually it'll be a show that she and I started watching together and I got tired of after one episode. And then she's finally just watching it by herself and enjoying it. And I'll make her pause it and just be like, so, how's it going?
Let's chat. Yeah, that's cute.
But today, during the break... Sarah announced yesterday, with good reason, because of screaming, that she was sick of putting the child to bed, and I said I will do it today.
Okay, so we've got
the break.
What, like 10 minutes here?
Right now, Cyril, my child, is watching A New Hope. Yeah, I let him watch it.
Oh,
he watched the first Star Wars. So it was his Christmas present.
Fourth Star Wars.
Don't.
The first Star Wars is called The Phantom Menace, Jack.
Don't. he's watching A New Hope for the second time this evening. And I'm going to go, and he's going to be a very good boy and go straight to bed during our
break. Yeah. It sounds like he's in a really good place lately if your wife is demanding that you put him to bed because of all the screaming.
She can't look at him anymore.
Sounds like that's going to be pretty effortless, and I'm looking forward to having you back promptly 10 minutes after we go off on our break.
Promptly and in a good mood.
Yeah.
Today we did a special book today, and it's a book. I know everybody is listening and everyone's saying, but it's a movie.
When I saw it, it was a movie.
No,
yeah, that's because you're
it was a movie.
Well, an imbecile.
We read it with our eyes.
We're sophisticated gentlemen who prefer to read the book.
You read a movie with your eyes too, don't you? We read it with our brains.
And I read the movie with my eyes, and I actually didn't read the book with my eyes at all. I read it with my ears.
But it goes into your brain, unlike with a movie, which
just goes
bounces
into your
off the back of your
bowels.
Empty head.
Yeah.
Well, we read it as a book. Ever heard of it?
Yes, I have, and I did read one this week.
And I did too, and it's a book. It's called, I call it Tatbilb.
Yeah, it's not. Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
But I bet because
it would roll off the tongue even better, weren't you?
Tatbilb.
Tatbild.
Tatbilb.
That means. I think that means crime newspaper.
Yeah.
If my limited knowledge of German.
Yeah, it means crime newspaper, and she and Jenny Hahn knew that was the case, didn't she? Jenny knew it was the case. Tat Bell, but to all the boys I've loved before, and yeah, you watched it as a Netflix, and yeah, I watched it as
ooh,
a Netflix.
Ooh, Noah
too.
Centrino. Oh, do you have seen To All the Boys I Love Before?
Yeah, I saw it like right when it came out.
Oh, I didn't. I never watched it. So this was all my virgin ears were absolutely creaming themselves. Ugh.
Why would you say
should
that?
Should we go run that one back?
Yeah, let's run it back.
My virgin ears were coming all over.
No.
I don't know what to say. I don't really know how to finish the metaphor.
My virgin ears were penetrated.
Yeah, with this book.
Yeah.
And they
my virgin ears were penetrated with this book. It was painful at first, but I really liked it in the end.
Yeah.
To just say something, it's not hard to not make it gross.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Yeah. Great. What was I saying? I watched, so the movie is very faithful.
Yes. Okay, it is.
Yeah.
Did you just watch the movie?
No, I didn't just, well, yeah, I watched the movie and I'm hoping that it was very faithful. No.
That's not that far-fetched.
I read it and I really liked it. It's extremely well-written.
Yeah, it's pretty well-written. It's fun.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's extremely well-written.
I think it's very well-written. I think
it's like a perfectly fine book. Extremely well-written. It's not like, it's not. Okay.
I think it is very well
infinite jest.
Okay, perfect. Okay, guys. Hot take from Tanner. Breaking hot take. Jenny Hans to All the Boys I've Loved Before doesn't rise to the heady heights of David Foster Wallace.
Yeah.
Tanner.
Should I tweet
that out
book.
Right now? I'll tweet that out for you.
It's not
on
the
your
perfect
behalf.
Book, much like Infinite Jest is.
I thought it was very well written. It was very well constructed. I liked the way. I think that she did an excellent job. And this is a pitch to folks who have seen the movie, which I think is a lot of people, but haven't.
Wait,
read
can
the
you
book.
Help me work something real
can
quick?
Can I say the
just
thing?
Before we just before we exit this arena?
Yeah,
because I want to say a joke, but I need help workshopping it, and you're my creative collaborator and
great.
Best friend, so I need your help coming up with. I know I'm interrupting you, so you're probably not going to be super inclined to do it.
I'm not,
but you need it. You do need to help me.
Okay.
Help me come up with a synonym for right that rhymes with move.
It behooves.
I like the way you behoove.
No, that doesn't work. I like the way you hoove would be a funny song to sing to a cow that you're in love with. Okay, thanks for that digression. That was
and
great.
This is what we were talking about before we got on, everyone. Yeah. There was a lot of hot takes flying around.
Could I finish my sentence?
Yeah.
This is a pitch to people who've seen the movie but haven't read the book. It is very faithful. You're not going to learn too much that is new about the characters. But the way it is written, I think, does an excellent job of really infusing each of these teens with a real distinctive character. That's what I mean by it's extremely well written. They really
feel them
bounce off the page. They're
they
real
do bounce
people,
off the
each
page.
Of them. They're vividly realized. Peter Kavinsky, Josh Sanderson, John Ambrose McLaren, Kenny from Camp, and Lucas Kropf.
I mean, I will say Lucas Kropf and Kenny from Camp are not as realized as the other ones.
Nor even is John Ambrose McLaren. We should say, we read a
he's
book
he's around.
This week.
We know about him. He's sort of like,
yeah,
he's got a dry wit.
We read a book this week. It's a famous book. It's called To All the Boys I've Loved Before. It's by Jenny Han. When Tanner and I choose our own books to read, we always choose ones that don't have any danger of being sexy.
Yeah. I always look up, I say, Google, what is the least sexy romance novel you can give me?
It's very romantic.
And it's like, this one's about teenagers, and the horniest thing they do is
kissing in the
lightly
hot tub.
Kiss.
Yeah. But, you know, you could if you haven't read it and you want to know what happens in it, you can watch the Netflix movie. It's good.
Do they kiss in the hot tub in the next Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Hot.
Yep.
It's hot tubs are hot.
Hot tubs are hot. Yes.
I grew up with one. Maybe you don't know that. When I was a kid growing up, my house had a hot tub.
Okay.
Oh, this thing's scorched, man.
Let's see. I don't think we need to, we have dispensed. I threw away. I had this big bad clock, and I've thrown it in the trash.
Oh, okay.
It served us well for 5 years.
Why not recycle it?
Broke.
Or like pawn it.
It's in the trash. It's in the garbage now.
Okay.
And that's this is I Marie Kondo'd it. It wasn't sparking joy anymore.
Hyper relevant.
Yeah. I just like the cycle of what's
relevant. And all of you ask, what do we mean by no whammies? Here's what we mean.
No.
Hyper relevant references like Marie Kondo.
The cycle of what's relevant is too fast, and it's like it didn't used to be this way. It's like Marie Kondo was like a year ago.
It's like 4 years ago.
No, it's not. 2 years max.
I think it was quite a while ago. You know, 2 years ago was like a like the beginning of a pandemic.
Well, exactly. Anyway, so we had a big bad clock. It's no longer sparking joy for me, and we got rid of it. So we just say the book however we feel.
Yes.
For those who have not read or watched this book, it's about a girl.
Yes. Her name is Largene.
Largene, yeah. Her name is Largene, and the bros in the book are like, if you say Largene real fast, it sounds like large, which is
it
like
sounds like large.
The type of shit you say to girls when you're,
yeah, when you're 16, you're just 16, trying to like, and you just trying to navigate,
yeah,
this confusing
just like
social
stuff
situation
you haven't learned yet,
yeah. And that's how you talk to girls when you're 16, you mean that's how Tanner talks to everyone now.
Yeah, still does, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't that funny? Your name sounds funny, and it sounds like someone who's big.
We had a former coworker of ours, very much prided herself on her height. It was like part of her like Twitter handle, and she referred to herself as like tall,
name.
Her name.
Yeah.
And the first time I met her, I'm also very tall. And the first time I met her, I was just like, you're not tall at all.
Great.
And it, I think, set off a pretty acerbic relationship for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, that's nice.
So
her name is Largene, and she, mommy's dead.
Mommy's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you're doing well. You're doing good.
They're doing okay. Daddy's looking out.
No, you're doing well.
I
seem like you were worried about whether or not you were doing a good job. You're doing great.
I wasn't. I'd never said
that. Keep it up, man.
Okay.
There was a look in your eyes, a look of panic.
Mommy's dead. Daddy's looking after her. She's got two sisters. Margot, older sister. Going to my school. That's weird.
Yes. You want to do a segment?
Yes. So her older sister's going away to college. She's going to St. Andrews University in Scotland, which is weirdly where I went to college.
I have a segment, Jack. It's called St. Andrews Facts with Little Dude Jack.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about St. Andrews?
Yeah, you're going to be disappointed in the answer, but yes.
Josh's easy smile fades away and he looks away. Yeah, we chat online sometimes. I think she's kind of homesick. I give him a funny look. I just talked to her last night and she didn't seem homesick at all. She seemed like the same old Margot. She was telling us about Raisin Weekend. It makes me want to go to St. Andrews, too. What's Raisin Weekend? And that's my question for you, Jack. What's Raisin Weekend?
Okay. I want to say
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you if you need a primer, if you need me to prime the pump, I can tell you what Largene says.
Yeah, tell me what Largene says, and then I'll tell you what I remember.
Largene says, I'm not 100% sure. It sounds like it's a mix between drinking a lot and Latin. I guess it's a Scottish thing.
I think what happens is that a bunch of freshers down some McVitie's and some McEwan's.
Yeah.
And some famous grouse and then have a foam fight on the quad.
Would you say foam fight?
Yeah.
What does it have to do with raisins and Latin?
Quad is Latin.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, I think I got it right. But here's the thing about me and St. Andrews is I was like very disdainful of this type of shit. Like everything at St. Andrews.
Oh, you hate Force Fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of like, oh, we're doing the fucking big Raisin Weekend and we're all going to get so drunk. And I was
Oh, you're right. Foam fight.
Yeah.
Foam fight.
Yeah. At the quad outside of Sally's, I think. St. Salvatore's. Am I right? Yeah. That's where the foam fight would happen.
Raisin Sunday is a traditional for students to go around to their mothers for a tea party.
It's this not may their involve... actual mothers. It's not their actual mothers. Mothers is like their like mentors.
This may involve lots of alcohol it's instead like, of tea and what do you silly Americans party
say?
Games.
What do you Americans say? RA. It's like your RA or something.
Children receive raisin strings, which are strings with personal gifts attached. After the tea party is over, children head to their fathers for more drinking.
Yeah.
And then who's the father?
I don't remember, man. I was studying.
And then can I read you the Latin text for Raisin Monday?
Sure, I guess.
Which I think is when they do the big foam fight.
Yeah.
And you translate this, and people will like this, right?
I probably won't be able to, but yeah, let's hear it.
Ego civis.
Yeah.
Jack. It says yeah. Name of parent. Tertianus or magistrandus or alumnus huius.
I can't. What you're saying is nonsense. There's a gerund in there. I can't. So there is some Latin, but it's mostly drinking.
Okay.
But everything, that's like every tradition at St. Andrew's was that. The one that was like fucked up was we would all get up in our fucking robes.
Oh, Prince William did it.
Do you want to hear a tradition or not?
He did the foam fight.
Prince William did go to St. Andrew's. That you get in your fight. Like matriculation robes and you like walk.
Only my wife is allowed to see me in my matriculation robe.
You like walk to the end of the fucking pier and it's like actually pretty scary. And I'm surprised more people don't fall in.
Pier?
Forget it. I don't want to
there's
talk
a
about
pier in St. Andrew?
Yeah, there's a pier. It's on the sea, man.
Wow. You learn something new every day. Yeah. I didn't know Scotland had seas.
Anyway, so Margot goes to the same college as me. And but she's got another sister, Kitty, who's younger.
Yeah, she's like 10.
But so the premise of the book is that, and I think this is actually healthy. What's the main girl's name?
Lara Jean.
Lara Jean. Every time she falls in love with a boy and it doesn't work out, which is all the times because she's like 16 or whatever.
Right.
She writes them a long letter.
Yes.
That's like.
As closure.
It's her closure for them. And presumably then. Like, writes their address on the envelope, stamps it, and puts
Must do, because the premise of the entire book is that the little sister, Kitty, finds the box of letters and is mad at Lara Jean and sends them all out.
Yeah, and so it causes chaos. In a good way. It's fun.
Yeah.
But the chaos... One of the boys is her sister's longtime boyfriend, who her sister has just broken up with. They're only a couple years apart. Her sister has just broken up with him because
one year older.
She needs to go to St. Andrews, and you know what happens at St. Andrews, a raisin week.
Yeah, the raisin party, and you put on your matriculation
can't have
robe.
A boyfriend back home,
and you do a big foam party with Prince William.
Yeah,
these are all euphemisms.
Prince William came to St. Andrews the year after I graduated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No one famous went to my college.
Yeah,
I mean, except Stan Brakhage.
That's not famous.
The godfather of experimental film. not famous. Yeah, right. You ever heard of Mothlight?
My college. It's me. It's Prince William. It's Bowdler.
Yeah.
I think John Cleese maybe went to St. Andrews. There are a few famous people who went to St. Andrews.
Okay.
And but one of the guys is this guy, Josh. What are you? Hey, Tanner, which are you? What are you? Are you a Josh or are you a Peter Kavinsky? There's two types of... Hey, everybody. There's two types of boys. There's the Josh...
Well, there's five types of boys, three of the types of boys are so
let's
opaque
start again.
To us.
Let me start again. Hey, everybody, there's five types of boys. There's Peter Kavinsky. There's Josh Sanderson. There's John Ambrose McLaren. There's Kenny from Camp. And there's Lucas Klopf.
Yeah.
those are the five types of boys. And if you're out there, if you're out on the dating scene, it's useful to know.
I'm Lucas Klopf.
What type of boy are you looking for? What type of boy have you found?
Yeah. Just the other day, I took a drive to World Market so I could buy some German sodas. So I feel like I'm really...
You think you're a Lucas Klopf.
A Lucas Klopf. Yeah.
I'm
Who
Peter
are you?
Kavinsky.
Yeah, you're no Kavinsky. Look at you.
I'm Peter Kavinsky. Let me ask you this, Tanner.
Yeah.
Is it different from the old days? Is this book different from the old days? Let me clarify.
Yeah, clarify what you're asking.
Peter Kavinsky is the handsome jock.
Yes, played by the very dreamy Noah Centrino in the Netflix show.
That means nothing to me.
He's a dream. You saw the movie. He's a dreamboat.
Okay, yes.
What a hunk.
He's a hunk, but he's a jock. He's like a fun, like, he's funny. He's easygoing. He plays sports. He's got bro friends.
Yes. All correct so far.
But he's the guy.
Yes.
And back in my day, and they make a thing out of it. It's like, it's surprising because she's like kind of nerdy and like, it doesn't seem like a fit. And like, is he going to be the guy?
They used to be friends.
But in my time,
it's not like she's just some nerd. They used to be friends.
The jock, I think, like I'm thinking of like John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
In my day, the jock is not going to be the guy. Who is it in Breakfast Club?
Who's the guy in Breakfast
Club? I literally can't
remember.
Is it the jock?
Who's the girl in Breakfast Club?
Is it the nerd? No, it's not the nerd. It's Molly Ringwald.
Let's see. Breakfast Club. All around me are familiar faces. Tanner Googles. Tanner Googles.
Spoilers for Breakfast Club incoming.
Breakfast Club.
Maybe it's always been. I guess this is my question is, has it ever been thus, Tanner? Has it ever been thus?
Has it ever been us?
No. Has it ever been thus? Like, is this different? Are teens doing it different now? Or has it ever been thus? It's the nerd but the jock is nice.
I think this is a staple of
well, tell me in Breakfast Club.
Romance comedies. Think about that. The nerd whips off her glasses and lets down her hair, and it turns out that she's beautiful, and then she goes out with the jock. And the jock softens, and the jock lets down his guard, and the jock reveals that he's also sort of a little bit of a dork as well.
Not this guy. Peter Kavinsky is not a dork.
He's never been a dork, no.
Yeah.
As the detention nears its end, the group requests that Brian complete the essay for everyone, and John returns to the storage closet so Vernon thinks he never left. Okay. Brian leaves the essay in the library for Vernon to read after they leave. As the students part ways, Allison and Andrew kiss, as do Claire and John.
Okay.
So here, Allison and Andrew kiss. Allison is Ally Sheedy.
Okay.
And Andrew is Emilio Estevez, the athlete.
Okay.
So yes, the goth, goth dork and the hunky jock get together.
It has ever been thus.
And then also Claire and John kiss. Claire is Molly Ringwald.
Oh, but that's the main.
John is Judd Nelson, the bad boy.
The bad boy. See, that's different. The bad boy is different from the jock. Maybe it hasn't. Folks, jury's still out. I do have to go and put my child to bed.
Sincerely yours.
Sincerely yours to all the boys I've loved before. The Breakfast Club. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back in 10 minutes, Tanner. I promise you he's going to be a good boy. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he
he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
The kid went to bed pretty good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was a good boy. I read him.
We were expecting some heartache there, but
I read him four aliens from his companion of Star Wars characters, and we had a brief, heated but not angry argument about whether Han or Greedo shot first.
Okay. Well, it's pretty obvious who shot first, right? Because Greedo is dead.
Talk to Cyril about it, okay?
And Han is, well, Han is also dead, but he doesn't know that yet, does he?
He doesn't know that yet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kenny from camp. He's one of the boys I loved before, but we don't get much of him. What we do get is this. It's the last day of camp and possibly the last time I will ever see you. This is the letter she writes to Kenny from camp. It comes back, return to sender. It's the last day of camp and possibly the last time I will ever see you because we live so far apart. Remember on the second day I was scared to do archery and you made a joke about minnows and it was so funny I nearly peed my pants? And then she pauses at this moment, reading her own letter, and says, I stop reading. A joke about minnows? How funny could it have been? And I thought
so funny you pissed your pants.
Yeah, before we go
unless
on.
It was scary.
Before we go on here and really kind of get into the plot, which we haven't done a great job of describing, I'm realizing, we could just take it in turns to do a quick, a very funny minnows joke. And
okay.
Just to kind of prove that.
I'll try it out. I'll try it out one of my many minnows jokes.
Yeah. Trying to redeem Kenny from camp here a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought we'd just do we both do a big minnows joke, I think, just to kind of prove here that Kenny's not such a bad guy. And in fact, he did make her piss her pants. And do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
I'll go first.
You go first. Okay.
What do you call it when a fish stops being able to have babies?
Okay, hang on. What do you
and
call
stops
it?
Menstruating?
Menopause.
Menopause.
That's okay.
Hey, Jack, if you can come up with a better minnow joke than that, let me know.
Why did you say it like that?
Because let me.
Oh,
let me know.
Oh, okay. It was a minnow joke. Okay, yeah. Ready? I've got one.
I got both of those on upjoke.com/minnow jokes.
Okay. I've made mine up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is going to make you pee your pants.
Craftsman.
Ready?
Yep.
Why did the small freshwater Eurasian cyprinoid fish that typically forms large shoals get older and pass his days away worrying about meaningless trifles like his mortgage and his 401k and mowing his lawn and what the neighbors think of him? All the while allowing everything that mattered to him in his youth, like the wonderful feeling you get when it's the first snowfall of the year, or not being able to fall asleep on Christmas Eve, or falling in love with a book, to slip away like a handful of dust floating on the dry breeze and coming to rest on a lonely road that can only be traveled forward from green valleys into an endless desert of loss.
What?
Because he'd lost his minnow sense.
That's good.
I think that's the joke that Kenny from camp probably told her.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Weird that both of our minnow jokes were about
growing older.
Aging. you know?
Yeah, that's Minnow Joke. So this has been the Minnow Joke segment of our podcast. We've got to say what happens for folks. So listen, what have we said? Tanner,
here's the thing. There's five boys.
There's five boys. Let me just go through them for folks.
Lara Jean loves them all.
Peter Kavinsky, Josh Sanderson, John Ambrose McLaren, Kenny from Camp, and Lucas Graf.
At one point, she's loved them all, but now she loves none of them because she has written them letters to
push them out,
seal the emotions deep within her.
Yeah.
But
she's like
her sister runs off to
she's
Scotland.
She's like a graphomage. When she writes you down in her book, it erases you. It erases the power that you have.
I love this world building.
Yes.
I love this lore building you're doing. She's a graphomage.
Yeah.
And then her sister flies off to Scotland and breaks up with her boyfriend, Josh.
Right.
And Lara Jean, her sister's mad. Her little sister, Kitty, is mad at her, sends off all these letters. And Josh gets his, and he's like, what's with this letter? And she's like, it was a prank. I'm actually...
She handles it badly.
Dating someone. I'm dating Peter Kavinsky. Kavinsky? You know that TikTok?
What?
Kavinsky?
No.
The TikTok, you're going to have to pull the audio. It's two brothers, they're twins, and they're wrestlers, and they're, I think, maybe not the most intelligent guys in the world, and they're doing a little quiz on TikTok, and they show the Mona Lisa, and they say, the quiz says, who painted this painting? And they're like, who painted this painting? I don't know who painted it. And then the answer reveals itself, and it says, Da Vinci. And they both go, Da Vinci?
Who painted the Mona Lisa? Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Da Vinci?
Because they've never heard of Da Vinci before, and they think it's pronounced Da Vinci.
Okay.
So every time they said Kavinsky, what was his name?
Kavinsky
in this book, I read it as Kavinsky? And that's my meme of the week.
I like turtles.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And now I think we're fully off the rails.
Oh, I can get us further if you want.
Because we both had a head of steam, it felt like.
I can get us further off if you want.
No, I don't need that. So
I can jackknife this train right onto another set of rails if that's what you really want.
That's what happens in Under Siege 2.
I was thinking Final Fantasy, which is in this book.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Josh is like, so Josh, it sounds like, is a traditional nerd, and Kavinsky keeps like jabbing at him. There's like a rivalry.
A handsome nerd, though. A handsome nerd.
It's not necessarily stated in this that he's handsome.
He's sexy. I think he's sexy.
Lara Jean and her sister.
He's at least certainly got all the, what's their last name? Song. He's got all the Song girls.
Song is their middle name.
Oh, sure. Yes. Song is their Korean name, and then their dad is not Korean, and his name is something stupid.
Yeah, they refer to themselves as the Song Girls. All three of the Song Girls, in their own way, are in love with Josh Sanderson.
Yes.
But he's not the guy. And he's like kind of like, I can't figure out whether Jenny, the author of this, wants me to not like Josh.
I mean, I like him a lot. He's like a big Tolkien nerd. He loves Final Fantasy.
But like, he's got like...
What's not to like?
Here's what's not to like. He's like, he's got this like white knight kind of vibe to him.
Oh yeah, but I don't care. I'm just like another dude. Like, he's not gonna like white knight to me.
No, he's not. In fact, he'll probably join your D&D group.
I would love that.
Okay. Fine. And is that it? That's the whole book?
So the letters get sent out. She's like, oh, don't worry about that, Josh. It's from a long time ago. I'm actually dating Peter Kavinsky now. And then she
but
goes
she's
to
not.
Peter Kavinsky
but
and she's like, hey, we're not dating, but we need to pretend we're dating. You just broke up with your girlfriend, Genevieve.
She does a big kiss on him.
So you make Genevieve jealous. I'll throw Josh off the scent.
Yeah.
And we'll pretend to date. So they pretend to date. Then they catch real feelings. She realizes that she doesn't love Josh. She loves Peter Kavinsky. They go on a ski trip together. They do a big kiss in a hot tub. And then they realize that they got the hots from one another.
But everybody thinks that they did intercourse in the hot tub. And for some reason that's like kind of unclear to me, Lara Jean gets mad at Kavinsky about it.
Right.
But he doesn't put a foot wrong this whole book. Is that okay to say? Am I in trouble?
I think maybe look at Barry Weiss over here.
You can't say that. Because that was a conversation we had before this.
I think you're going to get in trouble if you say that.
It doesn't seem like he puts a foot wrong.
There is some speculation between Lara Jean and her friend Chris. That
she's got this bad girlfriend.
That Peter Kavinsky was sort of like laughing it off. Like, oh, hey, come on, guys. We didn't have sex, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And I think they sort of build up this straw man that he's like actually telling everyone they did sex in the hot tub. But yes. Everything indicates that he didn't. He seems like a pretty stand-up dude. And now, look, I've hopped right into the hole you dug right with you.
Yeah, deep end. Yeah, we're both like big Kavinsky stans over here.
Kavinsky?
I don't like. I guess write in and let us know. But I think that Peter Kavinsky is like pretty good.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too bad. He seems like a little bit of, he's got some bravado, I guess, which can be a little
bit. He's got a healthy ego. He's just like always nice to her. Like she has to like go on a journey, and it feels like he doesn't go on much of a journey at all.
Right.
He's just
That's
like,
true.
Yeah, like this girl, cool.
He admits to her at the end of the book that he actually has always sort of had a crush on her. And that he kissed her in the seventh grade because not motivated by anything except his overwhelming lust for her. Mm-hmm. Ring, ring.
Excuse me? What's happening? It sounds like your phone's ringing.
It sounds like it's on your end, I think.
You think it's on my end?
Ring, ring.
I'm hearing it on through your end. Do you want to just pick it up and I'll...
Okay, I'll pick it up. Hello.
I'm waiting. What? Who are you talking to?
Oh, one second. Let me patch you through. Jack, we got a call.
Okay.
Can I patch it through?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Hello, Jack?
Yes. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm recording a podcast at the moment.
Oh, that's okay. I'm actually, that's what I'm calling about. This is Horny Tanner.
Okay, perfect. The Horny Tanner?
And I have my business colleague here, Horny Jack, and we're the two lewd branding consultants.
Oh, okay. Perfect. That's what this has become.
What did you think it was going to be?
I didn't know, man. I just heard the phone ringing on your side.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was pretty disruptive. The two lewd branding consultants are here, Horny Jack and Horny Tanner.
I'm Horny Jack.
So that was that. I cried my eyes out. I wrote my letter. I put the whole thing to rest. I haven't thought of him that way since. He and Margot are meant to be. They're MFEO, made for each other. And that's, you know what, Jack? Horny Jack, that's great branding, but it sort of has been trademarked by Josh and Margot.
Yeah.
I think what we want to do is we want to help Jack and Tanner figure out their sort of horny acronym.
That's better than made for each other.
Well, Josh and Margot are made for each other. That applies only to them. Tanner and Jack certainly are not made for each other.
Right.
That would, like, I think, imply some kind of like romantic and sexual compatibility. But there must be something we can kind of latch onto. And what's their value prop?
What's the value prop here for two guys who are in business together?
Yeah, two podcasting partners. Well, creative partners, I would say. We go beyond podcasting.
I think synergy you could put in there.
Synergy. Okay. I like that. It's kind of a hot word. Storytelling.
Oh, fuck yes.
So we got synergy, storytelling, maybe like audio.
Audio. Okay. So audio, story. So here's what I've got for you. Audio, storytelling, and synergy.
Okay. It feels like we're halfway there.
Captains.
Captains of industry. So that's...
ASS captains.
Oh, ass captains.
Oh, no, that doesn't work.
No, that's great. I love that. Jack and Tanner, ass captains. And then we'll wear little buttons that say, ask us what ass stands for.
That's
a conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a networking event and you're like, you hand someone a business card and it says, it's stark white.
Yeah.
With four words on it in black text.
Yeah.
And it says, Jack Shepherd, ass captain.
That's good.
And they look up at you like, what is this? And you're wearing an enormous button.
Yeah.
Like half of your chest.
Ask me what it says.
And it says, ask me what ASS stands for.
Audio, storytelling, and synergy.
Yeah.
I think there's something there. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Ass captains.
And that's in this book they just say Mafio.
Yeah. That's not very grabby. That's bad branding.
That's bad branding.
They need the help of the two lewd branding consultants.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could do theirs. Mafio. They had sex one time. Mafio. So
who did?
Novice sex havers.
Who did?
Or like Josh and Margot.
Josh and Margot did. That's a big spoiler for this. And he, so this is what I was saying about Josh. I think that he's like not necessarily good. There are like 1,000 people right now who have read this book or seen this movie who are like, duh, Josh is supposed to be not good. But I didn't get the vibe necessarily that he's supposed to be not good. But he writes like an annoying note to Margot.
Oh, I got it.
Perfect. Thank you. Great.
They're journeymen.
This is awesome. Yeah.
But only at sex having.
Okay.
Journeyman of only sex having.
Josh.
Josh.
Oh, okay. Great. Perfect.
And then Josh is just like, Josh hands someone a business card. It has one word on it.
Yeah.
And it's Josh. And they're like, what's that, your name?
My name is Josh. And then it says, and he ask says, me no. what Josh stands for.
I mean, he says, coincidentally, yes, yeah. It is my name, but it's also my personal brand. And it's that I'm a journeyman, but only at sex having.
Yeah, that's good. He writes a note to Margot that Lara Jean finds that says, hey, you only broke up with me because we had sex. And yeah, I think that
I can't
sucks.
Believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this. I think that sucks. I think that's a sucky note.
Yeah, this is part of what's kind of colors Josh in a bad light. And I think what you were referring to earlier is this kind of like this pushiness.
Yeah.
Or like sort of whininess.
I also like maybe this is I think this is probably not a thing for kids today. When I was in high school, when I was Lara Jean's age, it was not uncommon for people to like hand me letters that they'd written to me.
Wow, look at this. We got a real Emilio Estevez on our hands here.
But I never liked it.
Oh, okay.
Is this a thing for you?
No, no one ever handed me a letter.
It's usually girls. And I'm not gendering it. It's just like that's how it.
Girls didn't talk to me.
People would like come to you and like give you like hand you a fucking letter. That's what Josh has done here. Instead of just being like, hey, they'd be like, here's a letter I wrote.
Yeah.
Which is a horrifying
here's
way
a
to
chore.
It's like a fucking horrifying way to communicate with someone.
Okay.
Did that never happen
sounds
to you?
Sounds nice. No, sounds really lovely. Okay. It sounds really nice. Can I do another segment while I have you?
Yeah, you got me. You always got me, man.
And we can excuse Horny Jack and Tanner. They've done their work.
Yeah, they did their work, yeah.
We're the ass captains. Josh is just Josh.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean what you think it means. He's got a big button, too.
Yeah, he's like, be very wary of asking Josh what his name tag stands for.
it's got points between the letters. So it's like clearly an acronym.
Something's happening.
And you're going to want to ask.
Yeah, you're going to want to ask. Yeah.
But it's not a road you want to go down with him.
Yeah.
Let me read you a passage.
Okay.
Were you there, I demanded? Did you see it with your own two eyes? Damn straight, fished her clothes out of the pool like the gentleman I am. I blow out my cheeks. Well, Chris never mentioned that story to me, so I can't really speak to that. Besides, didn't they ban Four Loko or whatever it's called? They still make it, but it's shitty watered-down version. You can dump five-hour energy in it and get the same effect.
Fake.
I shuddered, which makes Peter smile. So that's a conversation between Lara Jean and Peter about...
Chris, Lara Jean's extra friend.
Yes, and it's sort of about Chris. It's mostly about homebrewing Four Loko to make it as potent as the original Four Loko, and it's something that you and I are...
world experts.
Well, I guess we're sort of journeyman
Four
Loko brewers. And is that an acronym? Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube. Is that taken?
That's what that stands for. Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, we could use it. We're going places with that. I think what Jenny Han, the author of this novel, is referring to is the famous time that Tanner and I absolutely famously homebrewed our own Four Loko around the time that Four Loko was banned.
Yeah, and I was hoping we could just sort of walk people through that experience because back in like 2011,
yeah,
Four Loko was everywhere. We were all drinking it.
Everyone was drinking it.
Absolutely hammered on our way to Medieval Times.
Yeah.
In New Jersey.
Famously, yeah.
And then the government was like, oh, no, we can't have this.
You can't have that. Everyone's having two nights of a time.
Yeah, so we're banning it.
Yeah. The fucking nanny state.
And what banning it meant was they took the caffeine out of it. Because what Four Loko was essentially a Red Bull mixed with malt liquor.
Yeah. But and something sweet.
And then everyone was like, well, this sucks. We can't get lifted off this anymore.
But not us.
Not us. We're like, well, we're Jiffy Lubes.
We're scientists.
Yeah. So we're going to be out here trying to crack the formula.
And we did.
Yeah, we tried to make our own homebrew Four Loko. We had a few different formulas.
We had the one that we landed on was a huge success.
Was it?
We brewed it at the office, and everyone agreed that it tasted a lot like Four Loko.
Here's what I remember it being.
Yeah.
Sprite.
Yep, Sprite.
With Jolly Ranchers dissolved in it.
But you dissolve the Jolly Ranchers overnight in Sprite.
Yeah. And they don't fully melt, and that's part of the charm.
This is one of those recipes where it's like, if you're like, oh, I'm cooking this for dinner tonight, and then you don't read the recipe in advance, you're going to be really disappointed. Because the first step is dissolve Jolly Ranchers in Sprite overnight, refrigerate.
Yeah.
Your date is going to be really disappointed when he or she shows up. And you're like, okay, I'm cooking dinner. And you're like, oh, fuck. The first step takes a night.
Fortified wine or malt liquor, I can't remember.
It was Steel Reserve, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think caffeine tablets.
Then we dissolve. And you don't need to do this the night before. You just drop a Vivarin or a caffeine tablet into the malt liquor.
And then you let that sit overnight. It will lose all its carbonation. And this was 2011, was before SodaStream. So now it's even easier because you can just you can brew that in a SodaStream bottle and then just carbonate it the next day.
Yeah, that's smart.
But we just had flat Four Loko. And it was serviceable. It all up.
Yeah, it's fine. Drink it at work.
Yeah, you drink it at work. Everyone just thinks it's some kind of, kombucha or whatever.
Yeah, it's a kombucha. It's nice, but apparently we're not allowed to do it, and big government says that we can't have that.
Yeah, we were both promptly fired about 10 years later. And in our exit meeting, they were like, it was the Four Loko.
It was the Four Loko. Have we said the whole book?
I think so. We haven't done... Do you want me to talk about the Final Fantasy stuff?
Do I want you to talk about the...
Sorry if I haven't read every single Harry Potter book. Sorry I have a life and I'm not in the Final Fantasy Club or whatever that geek club is called, is what Peter Kavinsky said. Kavinsky? Says to Josh.
And we're on Kavinsky's side, I think. I think everyone's on Kavinsky's side in this, even though it's a sucky thing to say to someone, especially since we're post-nerd.
Oh, we're post-nerd now? Fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean for me?
It's fine for you, but it's there was a time
I have to find a new thing that means.
There was a time when it was cool to be a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And I think now, although you can't put the toothpaste in the tube and it's never going to be normal to make fun of nerds again.
Yeah,
it's
they're just part of society now.
It's like, oh man, I'm really into Marvel. It's fine.
Yeah, so is my dad. I was in a Final Fantasy club.
Yeah.
It was not a club. It was a Slack room, and I was in it with everyone at our former company who was really into the Final Fantasy games.
I didn't know that.
Which is two people.
Okay, yeah.
It was me and two other people, and we just talked about... It was called... what was it called? It was called That Chocobo Life. You know what a chocobo is?
No.
It's like a big chicken you ride on in the Final Fantasy games. How many Final Fantasy games have you played?
I briefly played the first one for the 8-bit Nintendo.
When?
1995.
Okay. It's a good game.
Yeah.
That one had chocobos in it, so you know what a chocobo is then.
I didn't play it much.
Okay.
Just at somebody's house.
How much do you want me to talk about Final Fantasy?
Very little.
Have we reached the point already?
I think we reached the point after you said the word chocobo.
They're good games. Give them a shot, everyone. Go back, play those SNES ones first. Start with Final Fantasy IV. Play 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, Zodiac Age. 13 is good too.
Okay, that's enough. You tricked me. You lulled me.
Those are my recs. That's my Final Fantasy rec.
Seemed to me like you had stopped talking about Final Fantasy, but you hadn't. Have we said the whole book? Guys, it's fun. It's a fun book. It's a fun novel.
We've said everything.
There's some burns in it.
Except one thing.
Yes. And it's where we talk about the burns in this book. And there's 5 boys she's loved before, but there's many burns that we hear along the way, aren't there? Why don't I start?
Okay.
They're talking about lying. There's a lot of talk about truth and lies in this novel. And Lara Jean is trying to explain to Peter Kavinsky why they need to like keep their lies like fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the more people that know, the harder it is to manage. You have to keep lies restricted to as few people as possible. How do you know so much about lying? Oh, I used to lie all the time as a kid. I didn't think of it as lying, though. I thought of it as playing make-believe. I told Kitty she was adopted and her real family was in a traveling circus. It's why she took up gymnastics.
It's pretty good. She changed the course of her life. With a prank. That's good.
That's good.
Very good burn.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
There are very limited options for Asian girls on Halloween. Like, one year I went as Velma from Scooby-Doo, but people just asked me if I was a manga character. I even wore a wig. So now I'm committed to dressing up as Asian characters exclusively. Margot never goes as a person. She is always an inanimate object or a concept of some kind. Last year, she went as a formal apology. She wore a floor-length evening gown we found at Goodwill for $10, and she had a sign around her neck written in calligraphy which said, "I'm sorry." It won second prize in the school contest. First prize went to Rastafarian Alien. It burns on Margot because it sounds like a hell of a costume. Very
it's
clever.
It's a very funny and clever
but
costume.
Not quite as clever
not
as.
Not as clever as just
Rastafarian
Alien. Rastafarian Alien. Just obviously like somebody's like last minute.
Like I still have
like,
this alien.
Alien mask.
I still have this Rastafarian
like
wig.
Bob Marley wig or something. And like yeah. Just put them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good burn. Let's see. I only have a couple of other little things. One thing that I just thought was a little sad. Jenny Han has a character in this novel who's like one of Genevieve, who is the rival,
the naughty
Peter's affection.
Peter Kavinsky's ex-girlfriend.
One of her friends is called
a real Jessica Wakefield type.
Emily Nussbaum.
Yes.
Which is famously the name of like a New Yorker culture critic.
And you know what that means?
What?
Means hazelnut tree.
Thank you.
In German.
Perfect. Thank you. It is also famously the name of the New Yorker's culture and TV critic.
Yeah, same person.
And I just think it's a little bit thirsty.
No, same person. This is sort of her origin story.
No, yeah. Well, there you go. She's like, oh, and one of the main characters is like, oh, she's back in high school.
Dating her friend, Rusty Foster. Yeah, she does a lot. She drops a lot of media people's names in this so that they'll like tweet about it or whatever. It's synergy.
It's a little bit sad.
And we're ass captains. We should know this. This should be like the kind of stuff we're doing.
This is the type of stuff that we should be doing.
Yeah.
What do you think? It was a good novel, wasn't it?
It was a good novel. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was fun, and we did it so that you could all just watch the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm glad from everything indicates that the movie is pretty faithful to the text. So if you don't want to read this one, you can just... Although it is a quick read.
It's a quick read, and it's a fun read.
Yeah. But you can just watch the movie, and it's got that dreamy Noah Centrino in
it. But there's two more of these. I think I even saw the second movie, and it's about some of the other boys she's loved before.
Oh, yes, like Kenny from Camp.
Kenny from Camp. John Ambrose McLaren, I think, is in it.
Lucas Klopf. Cool.
Lucas Klopf does, he comes up to her, and he's like, hey, thanks for your weird letter. I'm gay.
Oh, I thought that was John Ambrose.
No, that was Lucas Klopf. John Ambrose is the guy from Model UN.
Right. Okay. They all sort of started to mix together in my head.
It's five boys. It's not a lot.
Okay.
Anything else you want to tell me about this book?
Nope.
Okay.
I would like to move on to the next book, please.
We're going to go. Tanner and I have to record another podcast. I hope you enjoyed this. I would like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Baby Nation and the Sex Bugs and the Bed Pots for bearing with us. We love you so very much, and we do kiss you so very much. Please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon show. We're about to record one now. It's going to be fun. It's going to be hot. It's going to be horny. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be serious. It's going to be deep. Yep. It's going to be profound. It's going to be moving. It's going to be life-changing.
Yep.
You can find that show at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. You can also join our Facebook group.
I just want to quickly say it's not going to be that horny.
Maybe a little bit.
I don't think I'm there.
Maybe a little bit. You can join our Facebook group at Baby Nation on Facebook, and you can buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCCmerch. You can support our show over at bit.ly/Rattlesnake. Jake, thank you so much to everybody who's done that already. Mm-hmm. And you can and must indeed rate and review our show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just do it. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. That novel was called To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and I know what you're saying. Before you say it, I'll just say to you, stop it. It's not a movie. It's a book. It was a book first. We read the book with our eyeballs.
Yeah, we read the book.
Yeah, we put it right in our brains. Ever heard of
that?
We're
sophisticated
people.
Ever
heard of putting
it
in your brains?
That's what sophisticates do. They read the book.
Next week, we're going to be, if we're watching a movie, it's going to be 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, okay. Love that one.
I've never seen
it. And if we are reading a book, it is Outlander.
That's, I looked it up. It's like 1,000 pages.
Oh, is it?
So that's your homework. We had a poll in our Facebook group, and we voted on a ton of different movies, and everybody said 10 Things I Hate About You was the number one movie they wanted us to talk about that's got love in it. And I think it's based on Shakespeare.
Let's read Outlander.
It's a very long. I told you it's very long. It's 1,000 fucking pages. 1,000 pages. You're going to read 1,000 pages between now and next Thursday?
No.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring. What?
It's
I have a line.
You have a line.
Jeez, what a fucking burden this is.
Should we come up with a thing I can do every week so we don't have to go through this extremely
painful Jack.
Thing?
Life doesn't have to be so planned, okay? Just roll with it and let it happen.
It's painful to me.
That's from this book. That's the quote.
Okay, that's it. That's the outro. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend. She was crazy, kid, to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Jesus, I have literally fucking five flies in my wine.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
A nightmare.
It's a black fly.
I'll be back. Hang on.
In your Chardonnay.
Fucking disgusting. I'll be right back.
You can hear him storm out into the other room to complain to his wife about how many flies are in his wine.
Be very.